worship and serve the Lord. And what a joy it is to be able to simply preach the truth, God's precious will. Thank you so much for your encouragement. And I've just experienced personally a great loss, my sister. And last Wednesday night for the invitation, I chose the question where Jesus asked Peter, Lord, do you love me? The Lord asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then he asked him the second time and the third time. And I began to think, you know, loving God and loving one another is so important to us. And here we are, and I found this, and I thought it was such a good thought. Imperfect people striving to serve a perfect God. And we welcome you to join us on our journey. We want each one of us to do all that we can. Because as Hebrews 13 verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. What a joy it's to just be able to preach on God's precious love and the brethren's love in one another. And as you know, I came from a large family. 9. 3 brothers gone. 3 sisters gone. And there's only 3 of us left. Boy. Look at the brothers and sisters we have here at O'Neill who have lost precious ones to them. Oh, it's so important that they had them to be with you. They serve the Lord. They were our brothers and sisters and now they're gone. And surely, my friend, I couldn't help but remember a statement made by someone many years ago. Now, I asked Matt to help me find out something about this where he says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And we found out from 1960s the Hollies came out. And what it was, an individual was ready to carry somebody else. Like we're ready to carry each other. Because we're brothers and we're sisters. We love each other. We're the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. What it must be like to see somebody pick up one who can't help themselves. And the words of that song go like this. The road is long with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And so on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know that everyone's heart is filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from whence there is no return while we're on the way to there. Why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. He's my brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. We got so many wonderful brothers. And look what God says. Hebrews 13, Steve read it. Let brotherly love continue. It's got to begin in order for it to continue. And we're so thankful that we have great brothers and sisters who love us as we seek to love them. And you know what? Nearly every New Testament letter contains an exhortation to love. This is only appropriate as the night before. This is appropriate as the night before His crucifixion. Jesus emphasized His new commandment. And guess what it was? Christ's followers are to love one another as Jesus loved them. However, here we find a very distinctive addition. Keep on loving. Don't quit. We're not there yet. We have a brother we need to carry, and we will. We got a sister that needs to be carried. And then this morning when I saw Ann Griffin coming in, boy, she had told me how she wanted to be here. Ann, we love you. And I mean, you've got a marvelous family that's upheld you. And they've literally carried you, haven't they? And that's what it's all about, to be in the family of God, because you love me and I love you. And we all love each other. Oh, we make our mistakes, but we try to correct them because we want to be the children of God. And it reflects, surely, that now as the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Isn't that wonderful? We're taught. God loves us so much that He tells us what we really need. Being taught by God, the true child of God knows that he is to love his spiritual brothers and sisters for the very reason that God is our common heavenly Father. Guess what? Your father and my father are the same. In the kingdom of God, we're brothers and sisters, and we're looking up to the great God who loved us and cares for us. Does he really care? Does Jesus care when my heart's pain, too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? When a nameless dread and fear, or with a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Oh, yes, he cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it all to him? Does he see? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. Hollis, let's just sing the first and the last stanza. Would you please? Does Jesus. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he does. How much he cares. And when we think about the affection that we have in our physical family, when we love our own brothers and our own sisters in our physical family, and then to think that God has blessed us with a spiritual family. You are my brothers. You are my sisters. We're serving King Jesus. Let's hear what God has to say. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Look what that tells us. You and I are so important. I honor you as you honor me. That, my friend, is great. Look what else he says. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Why would God do that? Why are we taught? Because it's best for us. Isn't that a grand thing? Only God could give us such teaching. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We be brethren, we truly love each other from the bottom of our hearts. We're so blessed to have so many loving us. We were eating over Cracker Barrel. Guess what? A fellow saw me. I didn't even see him. His name was Rick Henson. I hadn't seen him for ages. You know what he did? He came over He said, Brother Guy almost hugged me. And I looked at him and I couldn't believe it was Rick. And we were several of us together there. And there we'll forget. How he said, well, I've known this man for 50 years and I almost fell over. You mean really, has he known me that long? Am I really that old? Boy, I tell you what. But what an encouragement. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, 2 Peter 1, verse 7, and to brotherly kindness, love. And we're blessed by God to have the great love for each other. He taught us, He tells us, and we love Him. And we love each other. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. God said you may love the brotherhood. Tell them that you love them. Show them. Help them to see how important we are to each other. I think I stunned Brad and Kim last Wednesday night. I went up to them, Brad, I love you. Kim, I love you. Hayden, I love you. How many times have you told each other that you love each other? We want husbands and wives to love each other, don't we? Yes. What about us? What about the elders, all the other preachers? What about everyone who is really trying hard? Yes, we're not perfect. We're an imperfect people. But we want to do all we can for the perfect God. God says, love the brother. Tell them that you love them. Show them and help them to see how important we are to each other. Yes, the primary moral standard of Christianity is love. Remember in 1 John 4, verse 8, Jesus said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You're my family in the Lord, folks, and I love you. And thank you for loving me. Angry words can hurt us, and most of us have spoken them. Let's sing the first and the last stanza. And let me read these words first. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another, and who said that? Thus saith the Savior, children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another. Thus saith the Savior, children, obey His blessed command. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Ah, and look at it. We sing that. Hollis, lead us, would you, in the first and the last stanzas. Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. God helps us in our relationship. He even tells us how to act. Boy, I tell you what, my folks, when I was growing up and then after I even got married, Mom and Daddy They'd say, son, remember who you are. You're our son. And boy, we love you. And we want the best for you. Here's some words from God. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But the second is what? Love thy neighbor, your brethren, as yourself. Matthew 22:36-40. Think of that. First love our Father, your Father and mine, and then we're granted the privilege of loving each other. We are the family of God, and we need always to show our love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And look what Jesus said in John 13:34-35. You and I are showing who our Father is, because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love one for another. The world sees how much we love each other by the way we act, what we say, and what we do. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another. John 15:12. I love that passage. I'm to love you as Jesus loved me. Can't get any better than that. And listen again. Owe no man anything but to love, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Romans 13:8-9. Here's one that I've got to work on myself. Just as I love myself. So God says, Guy, you love your brethren. Do you know that brothers and sisters in the early church greeting one another with the holy kiss? Please, don't everybody do that today. Walking out with... That was a custom, though, back then. We have customs today. But I had not ever stopped and think and really examined how many times brethren then were told to greet one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16:16. And now look, all the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss, 1 Corinthians 16:20. He didn't stop. In 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss, 2 Corinthians 13:12. But we shake hands, don't we? Or a gentle hug. But isn't it wonderful to know that God said, greet one another? I can't conceive of anybody who would not speak to me. Can you? If you're passing by and they say, hi, hello, what's your response? Surely our response is, hello, hi, greet one another. That was the charge that was made. And help us, Lord, to always do that. And then in Ephesians 4:2-32, we are brethren. What a joy it is to treat each other just like our physical brothers in the flesh. I can see my mother crying. Now, I don't know if you folks had that to happen to you when you were growing up. I was going to college over in Nashville, and we'd go up to Cleveland, Ohio, and there we'd see with my mom and my dad, and boy, we'd have such a good time. But the time came, I had to get back down to Nashville, and we got to go. And my mother and my daddy, they'd say, Guy, and we just love y'all. And we'd hug each other. And Mama, she'd cry every time. Did your mother ever do that when you were leaving on a trip or something? She knew that it'd be months before we'd see each other again if we ever did. And boy, did she ever. I'd leave and I'd look in the mirror. And she was standing out there crying. I wish I could see her again, though. But I can. I hope to see him someday. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Paul said that in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Paul loved these Thessalonians, and they just got better and better about their treatment of each other. They were outstanding because they really had that great love. Why should he love me so? Love sent my Savior to die in my stead. Why should he love me so? Meekly to Calvary's cross he was led. Why should he love me so? Nails pierced his hands and his feet for my sin. Why should he love me so? He suffered sore my salvation to end. Why should he love me so? Oh, how he agonized there in my place. Why should he love me so? Nothing withholding my sin to his face. Why should He love me so? Why should He love me so? Why should He love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should Jesus love me so? And every one of us who are children of God can sing that song. If you fulfill the royal law, James tells us in James 2 verse 8, according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy... You do well. I want to do well. How do we do it? By doing everything we can to love each other. See, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, 1 Peter 1:22. Our love for each other is not a pretended love. It's not a feigned. It's an unfeigned love. It's truly sincere, not hypocritical. We have pure hearts because we truly love each other. And that's what Peter is telling us, what God says. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9. A blessing. Have we got something special? Special from God? What is it? That we are His children. That's a good way, friends, for us all to live. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Fervent love among yourselves. Why? Because we're God's children and God is our Father and we love showing fervent love to each other. And for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. And this is His commandment, that you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. 1 John 3, verse 11. God said what? That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. We do. And do what? Love one another. And friends, I know we can do that. Lord, help us all to do that. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. 1 John 4, 7 through 8. People see God in us. He dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us by loving each other. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which ye had from the beginning, that we love one another, 2 John 1:5. Brand new commandment? No! It is what? That which you have had from the beginning, that we all love one another. There's so many expressions, and I've read these things by Ken Forrest. One of them was, love is slow to lose patience. Number two, love is kind and constructive. Number three, love is not possessive. Number four, love is not anxious to impress. Love is what? Is not arrogant and eccentric. Love has good manners. Love is not selfish. And love is not touchy and resentful. You know what? Is it not a huge plus for the Lord's cause when His people have a genuine brotherly love among themselves? Amen. It is. And I'm thankful for you. I love you. The love and care that Christians have for one another is a powerful force in the world. Even those who are not disciples of Jesus notice, respect, and in some cases are attracted by the genuine love that saints show for one another. Here are a few pluses, positive things that take place when brotherly love continues to abound among members of the family of God. Jesus said, by this, all shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. John 13, 35. Guess what? Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Brotherly love takes action. Yes, but whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need shuts up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but indeed and in truth, 1 John 3:17-18. Brotherly love helps provide a healthy atmosphere in which to grow spiritually and worship together, because it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13:4. And it presents an attractive picture to our small children, the youth. They see mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa doing what? Loving the brethren. How can brother love not make a good impression on them when it can be said honestly that the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other? 2 Thessalonians 1:3. It binds us together because we have the same Father. That means we're kindly affectionate to one another. And look, brotherly love reminds us of just how wonderful heaven will be. Night and day, praying exceeding that we may see your face. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, just as the Apostle Paul longed to see his brethren in this life, so we look forward to being reunited with the saints of God in heaven, where we will worship God forever and ever and ever. And we'll never be separated from our faithful brothers and sisters in the Lord. That old song, blessed be the tie. How many times have we sung it here? Oh, it's beautiful. It says, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Let's sing the first and the last verses of that song, Brother Hollis.
Blessed be the tie.
Young and old, what a great and wonderful thing it is to love one another, bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:2, be kind and compassionate with each other. Submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, confess your faults to one another, James 5:16. Pray for one another, James 5:16. Offer hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4:9. Be humble toward one another, 1 Peter 5:5. And I put on the screen, imperfect people striving to serve a perfect God. People that love each other, don't let anything destroy that love. May God help us to be faithful and true. And I mentioned in the very beginning, it ain't heavy. He's not heavy. He's my brother. You know, Tabitha had cerebral palsy. Our son, was 9 years old when we adopted her. She was a little tot, 3 pounds or so. Not bigger now. She's grown up. I got to share something with you. My little boy at 9 years old, and at 10 years old, and 11 years old, he'd pick up that little girl that couldn't walk. He'd take her wherever she'd like to go. And if somebody might say, but son, she's so heavy, as the woman did to my wife one time when she was in the 7 to 11 to get something. And she said to my daughter, she said, get down. You're too heavy for your mother. And Ann said she had to tell her, ma'am, I know you didn't mean any harm, but she can't walk. She didn't even begin to walk until she was 5 years old. I know what I'm talking about. And my little boy grew up to be a fine man. And I'm praying for him all the time. He'd tell you today, never one time was Tabitha too heavy for him to carry. Because you see, she was his sister. That's what a family's all about. I couldn't help but read an article that's on the news. Braden and Hunter Gandy, they already had a special brotherly bond, but it was made all the stronger this weekend when 7-year-old Braden was born with cerebral palsy, a condition that makes the muscles in the legs difficult to control. He wears braces and can only walk with the aid of a walker. And for years, his 14-year-old brother, Hunter, has been like a second pair of legs to Braden. Their mom, Danelle Gandy, said, Hunter picks Braden up and carries him piggyback style wherever the little guy needs to live. On Saturday, the two brothers set off on a 40-mile journey from their hometown near the Michigan-Ohio border to the University of Michigan campus in Ann Arbor, with Braden once again on Hunter's back to raise awareness about cerebral palsy. I'm sure that he would say, he ain't heavy because he's my brother. We had to lift my mom when she got down where she couldn't get up. You know what? There are a whole lot of people that are having to make adjustments in life because they love their folks. But friends, let me tell you, if we don't love one another in the kingdom of God, the church, we're going to miss out on so much. Because I guarantee you there are a lot of people that love you. And I know they love me. They've shown that over and over. Today, if you're not in the kingdom of God, you're missing what you are missing so much, is the love and protection of God and being able to show others how important He is to you. Won't you this morning, if you've never been baptized, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized. And if you're here and you've stumbled, you've fallen, and you've sinned, ask God to forgive you. Don't wait till it's suddenly gone. You're gone. Lydia had about 2 minutes. My own sister, as I was sitting there, or standing there at her head. Don't ever think that we have enough time and we're going to be able to do it sometime later. I'm calling upon you to share in the most wonderful blessings of all, being in the kingdom of God and we loving one another. If your subject is invitation, the love of all, Jesus Christ, is inviting you to come to Him. Won't you do that right now while together we stand and walk?